Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Shriram Properties Limited Q4 FY22 results conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Adhidev Chattopadhyay. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone. On behalf of ICICI Securities, I'd like to welcome everyone to the Shriram Properties Limited Q4 FY22 results call. Today from the management we have with us Mr. Murali M, the CMD, Mr. Gopalakrishnan J, the ED and CFO, and Mr. K.R. Ramesh, the ED Operations. First, I'd like to congratulate the management on a very good year overall, and I'd like to hand it over to them now for their opening remarks and the way forward for the company. Over to you, sir.
Good evening, friends. This is Murali here. Thank you for all your support. As stated, we have made a fantastic turnaround year, FY22. We just declared the results and you would have seen all the numbers. We finished the year with a 3.76 million sq ft of pre-sale volume and sales value is about close to 1,500 crores, and the collection is about 1,263 crores, and the construction all-time high. We ended the year with 17.7 crores PAT, and ended the fourth quarter with 64 crores PAT. This has been a great year for us. As I interacted with many of you during the IPO, whatever the guidelines we have given, we have been able to meet those guidelines, and some of the areas we have been able to surpass those guidelines. That's what I promised. We have been able to deliver that. Things are looking pretty good and we are enjoying this new journey of a listed company, which gives us a lot of strength and courage after having achieved our own targets, our own guidance. It gives us a lot of strength, confidence and courage to take this company to the next level. Year ahead, FY23 is looking very, very positive for us. First two months have been a decent performance. I expect, there are quite a lot of good things happened in the year 2022. Only we have done highest sales volume, construction output, collection output, which have all resulted into good positivity. Not only that, last three years, 10 million sq ft sales has been done now. Now for FY23 and FY24, close to 70% of the balance sheet comes out of the project which has already been sold. 60% of the DM revenue is coming out of the project which has already been sold in the last three years' time. This is a very positive one. It's just not FY22 great results we have been able to deliver. There is a clear visibility of results to be delivered in FY23 and 2024. Not only that, this year is going to be a great cash flow generating year for us. We are likely to generate good amount of cash flows as we speak from a couple of assets which we have been highlighting to you. That's very much visible now. All that will lead to debt reduction to a major level. As you know, as you all know, we are one of the lowest in the debt-to-equity ratio. Net debt is about 0.3%. 0.3 is one debt-to-equity ratio. Even that is likely to come down close to zero from the current projects today in the next 12-18 months' time. There is a clear visibility. Not only that, from the project cash flows, which will help us in becoming a debt-free of all the current projects today in the next 18 months' time. Also, we'll generate good amount of cash flows, which will be available for growth. We are looking forward to a great journey. FY23, we have set a target for ourselves to do about 4.5 million sq ft pre-sale, and that number will be at least doing triple, more than triple or four times of the number what we achieved in FY22. That's where we are now. I'll hand over to Gopal, and I'm available for any question and answer late. Yeah.
Thank you, Mali. Thank you, Adi, for hosting this call. I hope I'm audible, and if I need to be a little more louder, please let me know. I believe there's some disturbance in between. I hope I'm audible. Adi, am I audible?
Yeah, yeah, sir, you can please go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have, we have uploaded a presentation on BSE site, and being an audio call, I'm going to refer the page numbers of this presentation and continue my brief conversation around the financial performance and the outlook that we have for the company. And then I'll try to complete that in about 20 minutes, and then I'll stop for a Q&A session as appropriate. I hope all of you have had an access to the presentation. Slide 1 of the presentation obviously talks about the macro outlook for the sector, as well as the landscape at which we operated in the last fiscal. Most of you are familiar with the industry landscape. It just suffices to say that the markets have been conducive and favorable for all large branded players. Housing market remains strong. Quarterly sales have been highest since 2015. Launches continued, and everyone had successful launches. Many large players had launches. More importantly, launches outpaced pre-COVID levels despite the fears of third wave. More encouragingly for us, the market showed that the mid-market and affordable housing have been a better performers relatively, and that's an encouragement for us. Market was also conducive enough to improve pricing, and that has been a good support in terms of overcoming the cost impact that we have seen in the market. But if I look forward, I think the positivity of the sector looks very encouraging, and it should continue to result in a favorable demand outlook for the next couple of years. Improving job security and robust hiring from some of the key sectors in our core markets like IT, ITS, financial services should augur well from a demand perspective. Affordability remains at a multi-decade high, notwithstanding a small increase in bank rate or a resultant increase in interest rate, unlikely to have a dampening effect on the overall demand. Consolidation is continuing, and therefore large branded player like ourselves should continue to have a strong operating platform or strong canvas on which we can continue to grow and paint a more robust and more positive outlook going forward. Just turning to page 3, the operating highlights. Slide 4 gives you a snapshot of key operating metrics. Our pre-sale volumes, as Murali mentioned in the opening remark, our pre-sale volume, or the sales volume, grew 25% year-on-year to 3.76 million square feet for full year FY22. Quarterly numbers were equally encouraging at 1.2 million square feet for Q4. Consequently, the sales value grew by 19% year-on-year to 1,482 crores. Our collections were at a new high as well, up 42%. Construction from a low base of the previous year, where we suffered from labor migration issues. Construction spend has more than 1.5 times grown to 643 crores. Same is explained more in detail in slide 5. It suffices to say that our performance was at an all-time high on most of these KPIs, the key parameters that we look at in this business. Our full year sales was highest ever, as I said, 376. Our gross as well as net collections, as highlighted in slide 5, has been at a record high as well. Our average monthly collection consistently remained above 100 crore per month through the entire journey of Q2, Q3 and Q4. Our construction spend, as I said, was a record high as well. 643 crores we spent compared to 250 crores that we spent in the previous fiscal. Our labor strength currently is around 5,000 people on the ground compared to 4,200 we had in the pre-COVID environment, which clearly shows the focus on execution has gained momentum and is continuing over the last several quarters now, overcoming all the COVID-led impact that we had in the previous fiscal. As you all know, DM has been a thrust area for us, and DM projects have stabilized. I'll explain that in a subsequent slide. But from a key performance metric perspective, DM accounted for 28% of overall sales volume during this year. That's a very encouraging number for us. Such strong performance, both from the market perspective and execution perspective, was supported by very successful launches that we had. For the full year, we had about 12 launches. And as you know, we have talked about consistently about a metric called sales at launch. Our sales at launch has been fairly robust and encouraging for the entire year. You would see in slide 6 all the launches that we had during the year. We had on average, we had about 38% of our launched project inventories have been sold. And that's a very encouraging number for us, as we have been aspiring to stabilize between 35 and 40% consciously over the last couple of years. And despite the third wave concerns and others, we've still been able to achieve a 38% sales at launch, which is encouraging for us and gives us a comfort on our ability to identify right product mix and a project mix for micro markets, as well as efficiency of our sales machine that has been able to achieve good outcome from these launches. Interestingly, slide 7, our pricing has been very positive and pricing has been very encouraging to be honest. In the month of September and October, we wanted to actually move up, looking at the market conditions in terms of favorable demand situation. We wanted to move up the price curve, consistent with the overall strategy that we had towards improving overall realization consciously over the years. And we did move ahead on that line, and we have actually been able to achieve an average price hike of almost 8% compared to by March 22, compared to the levels that we were selling in September 21. So second half is where most of the price hikes have happened. And the chart on slide 7 shows the price difference between September 21 and March 22 for some of our large volume contributing projects. As you could see, the range is between 4% to 20% increase in pricing. On an average, it has resulted in an 8% increase in price during second half. The chart below on page 7 talks about average realization for the whole year, FY22 versus 21. Nearly flat from an apartments perspective, that primarily shows how the prices have been moving during first half. And plots is obviously a combination of which projects we launch will determine the average price realization in plots. But suffice to say, second half has been an encouraging second half for us, and we believe we should be able to continue that momentum during current year. That should help in overcoming the inflationary impact that we are seeing in some of the construction materials. I'll talk about it in the subsequent sessions, subsequent part of the presentation. But suffice to say, large part of the inflationary impact can be easily offset by rising average realization. As at the year end, page number 8, slide number 8 highlights the fact that we had about 51 projects, roughly about 51 million square feet of development potential. Two things which is very important here. From the time we filed RHP, we have actually gone up almost 10% net addition to the portfolio. We added almost 13 million square feet. We cleaned up some of our deferred, some of our projects where it was taking longer time to get the approvals and get the processing done compared to initial expectation. So we moved some of those projects. Despite that, the net addition has been to the extent of 10% in our overall portfolio. Well spread between ongoing and upcoming projects. 25 million out of 51 million is ongoing, out of which 24 has been launched and almost 21 million square feet has been sold. So we have a very low unsold inventory from ongoing projects. We have zero or near zero inventory in completed projects. Some of these are positive side of our business model. Basically, the thrust on mid-market affordable housing has helped us in ensuring good velocity and therefore zero inventory in completed projects. And we have about 75% of our launched ongoing projects have been sold. So that basically means most of our ongoing projects are de-risked in that sense. Moving to financial performance on slide 10. Basic highlights are the top high-level five key messages are that we are encouraged by the turnaround we achieved in FY22 as a whole. As you recall, Q3 is when we started witnessing the turnaround. Q4 has been pretty encouraging. And overall for the year, we have turned around into positive net earnings in line with the guidance that we have issued to investors during the IPO roadshows. Improving margins and earnings is another message that we had left with investors during the roadshows. We were very confident that improving operating leverage and rising share of DM income should help us turn around in terms of overall profitability and move closer to or above the industry average profitability and return. We believe we have reached there, or we are at least on the right path to stabilizing our ROC at a much higher level. From a low number that we used to have in the past for the audited financials for FY22, highlight to 11% ROC, which has also improved consistently over the last 3 years. And this basically gives us the confidence that we are on path to the targeted level of mid-teen ROC in the next 2 to 3 years. I think we are very confident that we'll reach there, supported by strong pipeline, launch momentum, and the growth momentum, execution growth, which we are witnessing. I'll explain some of this in subsequent slides. Debt reduction has been another big message for a big outcome for us during the Q4 FY22. Post IPO, we used most of our IPO proceeds for repayment, voluntary prepayment of our existing loans. And also we continued focus on refinancing of some of our loan portfolio from NBFC trust to a banking trust. Combination of all of this has helped us achieve a 24% quarter-on-quarter drop in finance costs from Q3 to Q4. And we also have seen an encouraging fall in net debt equity. And we believe the trend is certainly a beginning of a new trend. We are working towards bringing down our cost of funds as well as overall debt position even further going forward in FY23 onwards. Slide 11 talks about some of the quarterly highlights. Slide 12 talks about the quarterly financial, the drivers of these financials. Between the two of the slides that I would like to draw your attention to the fact that our overall aggregate revenue has grown well during Q4, primarily because we have started income recognizing in some of our newer projects like Grand One in Calcutta, where we received OC and started recognizing revenue, or completing and handing over the project, and therefore eligible for revenue recognition. Income recognition gained momentum also in some of our projects in Bangalore, like Shriram Earth Whitefield, as well as Chopping Wood. And Panorama Hills is another project where in Vizag, where the completion and handover moment gained momentum. Combination of these four projects that we have been able to improve our revenue recognition capability during Q4 big way. And also transfer of development rights or the co-development agreements on two of the projects, one in Bangalore and one in Chennai with our partners. Third driver has been our remarkable growth in DM fee. Our DM fee income recognition, DM fee grew by almost 40% quarter on quarter. Some part of the large final settlement from our gateway, final set of earnings from our gateway project in the, where we are supposed to receive DM fee from Zander funds. That got settled, as well as now we have 9 DM projects up and running. Compared to much smaller numbers in the past 3 years. and combination of these have helped us achieve higher DM fee. Our revenues would have been much stronger but for delays in couple of projects. We had income recognition delay in Grand One, which originally was supposed to start in January. We unfortunately got that process started only by mid-March, and therefore we could only commence the recognition. That delay, as well as Southern Crest, a project in Bangalore called Shriram Southern Crest, where the OC is delayed from Q4 to H1 23. These two projects would have added much stronger revenue growth for us. Unfortunately, both is impacted, but despite that, our Q4 has been reasonably strong. I talked about the interest costs, and so I'd like to now actually summarize this quarterly into an annual performance. If I look at slide 13 and 14, full year revenues grew by about 3% or so, despite postponed revenues, as I said, from Southern Crest and Grand One, which came only towards the end of the fiscal. Six projects contributed to 84% of revenues: Panorama Hills in Vizag, Shriram Earth Whitefields, Shriram One City in Chennai, Luxor and Chirpingwood, both are Bangalore-based projects of Shriram. All these revenue recognition from these projects accounted for 84% of revenue, and Grand One is a new addition. Would have had a very small impact because we started recognizing, we started handing over only towards second half of March. High gross margins we witnessed, also high EBITDA margin. That's, we believe, our sustainable EBITDA margin would be about mid-20s. Current year's high margins, as you would see from slide 13, is a reflection of revenue recognition from some of our plotted development projects that are more profitable because these land banks have been with us as a project investment for the last couple of years. Shriram Earth Whitefield is a plotted development where we have held this land for some years, and they were sold and income recognized this year on completion and handover of these plots, and therefore they bring high margin. Similar is the case in plotted development in Chennai, which is also our own land held in the past. Also, income recognition from development rights of two projects have also helped. Overall, as I talked about, DM revenue growth is another key contributor to the overall financial performance. Now we are able to stabilize the DM fee in the 100 crore per year mark. Xander would be the last year of income recognition this FY22. But FY23 onwards, based on 11 DM projects already on ground. We have 15 DM projects signed up. I will explain that in the next slide. But out of 15, 11 are launched. DM fee from these 11 projects should help us stabilize the DM fee in the 100 crore annual income going forward, or at least over the next couple of years. And against this strong revenue growth that you see over the years, we have been able to, we've had a mixed trend. FY22 has been a meaningful revenue. Operating expenses have, despite a higher employee expense on a YOY basis, primarily because we are comparing on a pre-COVID versus post, we are COVID reduction base, the lower base from a COVID reduction. But otherwise, if you look at employee cost on a pre-COVID level, it is still 13% below FY20 levels. Lower base of 21 was, as I said, is due to COVID-led pay cuts and headcount reduction. Overall operating expenses actually grew relatively lower, and that actually has helped in clocking EBITDA at around 181 crores. This is despite the postponement of revenue recognition in two projects, and therefore it is more encouraging for us internally. EBITDA margin 35%, but as I said, this is partly reflect the nature of projects that came in for income recognition during the second half of this year. We spoke about this in Q3 as well. So Shriram Earth Whitefield was there in Q3 as well as in Q4. And so overall, improving operating leverage, rising share of DM income, have been the combination, have been the contributors to the superior profitability. We believe we should be able to stabilize profitability in the mid-20s, even in the future. And together with increase in increased impact of lower finance costs, we should have a much stronger growth in PBT and PAT in the coming years. I'll explain that in subsequent slide. Interest costs, as I explained that in the quarterly slide, savings is less prominent in full year basis, primarily because the whole impact came in Q4. That's why on a sequential basis, Q4 witnessed 24% drop in interest burden to 19 crores, and other finance costs were flat at about 1.6 crores. The unwinding effect, so that impact gets muted a little bit when I look at full year number, 96 crores of interest costs compared to 102 crores that we had in the previous year. The non-cash charge is related to unwinding effect of the Bengal royalty payment that are due, is shown in our balance sheet as a liability, but the balance sheet reflects the NPV value of these liabilities that are due to be paid to the government. And therefore, as the passage of time, we need to adjust for the NPV, the time value of money. And therefore, this unwinding cost of about 20 crore as a non-cash charge will come into the P&L. We believe that will continue at least for the next 2 years in our P&L till we reach a closure on this 4% royalty payment due or otherwise. Share of JV income remains negative. I must clarify, we recognize the current cost of this JV. Our share of current costs are picked up. These joint ventures, there are four projects in these joint ventures. These projects are not yet ready for income recognition, and therefore the current costs are getting picked. One of the projects will come in for a more prominent revenue recognition in the coming year, and the other three projects will take some more time. At least two projects will take some more time. It will take 18 to 24 months. So until that time, the net effect of current costs are holding it negative. And that's fundamentally the story behind why JV income remains negative. Overall, we have been able to therefore turn around, supported by strong Q4. Our 9 month net negative was 46 crore. I hope you recall that we did show our expectation and confidence that Q4 will be a strong quarter, and therefore we were confident of turning around. For the full year, we have reported a positive net earnings of about 17.7 crores. That translates to a ROC of about 11% for us. We believe there is still a further upside in ROC over the next couple of years. We are fairly confident of stabilizing our return in the mid-teens over the next 12 to 18 months time. Slide 15 talks about our cash flows. All of you are fully familiar with this. This is an operating cash flow statement. And overall, it just suffice to say that the Q4 has been fairly robust as well as the full year. We thus ended the year with a cash from operations of about 85 crores. Most of our negative cash flow for financing came in from the voluntary prepayment of loans. As you would see, we have repaid 334 crores. Loan royal from, because as you know, we have project loans for each of the projects separately. So each project has an SPV and they have their own financing arrangement or a financial closure. And therefore on one side, we may be drawing in from some projects and some other projects we will be repaying their scheduled loans. 200 crore out of 334 crore is a voluntary prepayment. Rest is actually scheduled repayments. So net-net, we have prepaid about 32 crores reduction in debt, 32 crores of outflow towards financing costs, financing cash flows. Despite the negative cash flow from financing activities, which is a good message, we still have a free cash flow from operation of about 53 crores and ended the year with a liquidity, cash and cash balance equivalent of about 140 crores. Slide 16 talks about the balance sheet number, but more important, slide 7 is a more encouraging message where you would see the extent of reduction in debt as well as the current debt equity ratio that we have. We have dropped our overall gross debt by about 27%. Net debt is lower, even strongly. We ended the year with a net debt of about 341 crores at a consolidated SPL level. That puts us at consolidated net debt to equity, net debt to equity at about 0.3:1, which positions us as one of the relatively lower net debt company in the sector, as Murali pointed out at the beginning of this conversation. Shifting gears and moving to our overall thought process for FY23 and beyond, and where we see the increased confidence on delivering positive earnings and sustaining growth momentum. Next 3-4 slides, I'll wrap up by saying what do we see as our strategy and as our outlook for 23 and beyond, and what would be our strategy within this context. We believe, based on what we have achieved, notwithstanding so many macro headwind factors through the NBFC crisis to COVID, to post-COVID environment, the delivery of results clearly gives us the confidence that the machine is working well. The operating platform is now stable and well-oiled, and therefore we should be able to sustain growth momentum. And towards that end, our strong project pipeline will also help. Operating leverage is kicking in already on the back of improving scale and improving efficiency. We believe it will be, the impact will be more prominent in the coming years. FY23, therefore, to us is a very promising year. Strengthened long-term fundamentals not only for the SPL, but also where we see as a positive outlook for the sector. We believe we should be able to benefit from this positive operating environment and our strong pipeline and the platform and deliver strong growth. What we are looking for over the next couple of years is very simple. Sustain growth momentum, target 20% plus kind of CAGR in our sales volume over the next 2 to 3 years. Continue to emphasize on DM. Sustain profitability in the mid-20s. Ensure positive net earnings consistently. Improve ROCE to a mid-teens levels. And while doing all of this, unlock value potential from Kolkata as well. As part of our growth strategy, we are looking at making a cautious entry into another southern market in Hyderabad. Within that overall strategic framework, if I draw your attention to page 20, long-term strategy has remained unchanged. Remain focused on mid-market affordable, remain focused on south, focus on DM model, and while building scale and enhanced capability, continue to leverage our relationship for achieving cheaper financing. Unlock value from Kolkata will be an added strategy to this. Within that framework, what we are confident is we believe we should be able to sustain growth momentum in the 20%+ growth, and more looking more closely on FY23, we are looking to deliver about 4.5 million square feet in FY23 as a sales volume. Not just the volume front, we also have a very strong or encouraging visibility on the earnings side. Without getting into specific numbers, I would like to highlight the drivers of where we see our confidence coming from. We have, based on our projected earnings, which shows very strong growth, as Murali alluded to, 62% of our projected revenue will come from 4 projects listed on slide number 21. All of these projects are fairly at an advanced stage in terms of completion and handover. As I said, Grant 1 we have already received and delivery has also started, though will gain more prominence in FY23. Another project in Bangalore called Southern Crest, where OC is awaited, and those handover will enable us to income recognize on this project, which is fairly large, important project for us. Summit is a legacy project for us. That's also nearing, the final phase of this project is nearing completion, awaiting OC now. And Park 63 is a project between Shriram and Mitsubishi Corporation based in Chennai. All these projects are therefore at a good stage in terms of control over the completion process and handover process, and they will account for 62% of our FY23 revenue. Therefore, we have a good confidence on where the income recognition will come from. We are looking to monetize the land bank in the Chennai, which is an approved mall location. We might find a strategic partner to develop this mall, and that if I add a likely closure of this mall transaction, this Shriram does not intend to do on its own. So this monetization will help us, will should ensure 83% of our revenue, targeted revenue is getting locked. I'm not bringing in any Bengal FSI into this current expectation. Despite Bengal impact of potential Bengal FSI sale, Kolkata FSI sale, we should still be able to have a very strong revenue outlook for this year. DM revenues will add further strength to it. As I said, we have 15 projects in our portfolio now, 1-5. 11 of them are already up and running. Those income, the projects that have been launched already will account for 67% of our projected DM income. And we expect DM to account for almost 1/3 of our volumes going forward. So all of these factors should help us, provide us a good visibility. Looking a little longer term, 3 years earnings outlook, we believe 70% of our aggregate revenues for cumulative for next 3 years will come from volume sold already as of 31st March 2022. And 60% of aggregate DM fee will come from projects launched already. So combination of these two therefore gives us a very strong confidence that as long as we are able to execute and deliver these projects, we should be able to recognize income as per plan over the next 3 years. We are looking to unlock 3 billion of free cash flow in our books over the next couple of years. So it all boils down to our ability and comfort in terms of delivering, executing and delivering these projects. Slide 22 exactly addresses this point. As Murali started off in his opening remark, you may all recall that we have sold almost 10 million square feet in the last 3 years. These are all projects now getting executed. We have almost 24 projects or 25 projects, including phases of ongoing projects under various stages of implementation. These projects will all be getting completed over the next 24-30 months, and they would provide this complete scope for timely completion. We are targeting to hand over at least 10.7 million square feet over the next 3 years. And those annual and or volume to the extent of about 3 million plus over the next couple of years will ensure income recognition on these 3 million, and therefore back of the envelope I'm sure you can reach 1500 crore plus kind of revenues is a revenue recognition potential that we are running on an annual basis. So that's a big comforting position for us, and therefore we would like to reiterate our commitment that we will continue to grow at over 20% plus per annum in terms of volume, enhanced margin to the mid-20s EBITDA margins, and 15% ROC is the targeted level that we want to achieve. And therefore, we see a good potential for continuing to deliver quality results in the coming years, more so in FY23. Last message I would like to leave before I end would be Bengal and DM projects. In terms of Kolkata unlocking value potential, many of us have had the questions and we have discussions on this. As we said earlier, 10 million will develop ourselves. Out of it, 4 million is already launched. Out of that, we have already started handing over Shriram Grand 1 starting last March or March 22. So FY23 alone, we will hand over 600 units at least. And therefore, that should set the momentum and it should actually create those green shoots, which will actually accelerate not only the launch of subsequent phases, but also the sale of monetization of our remaining FSI potential that we have talked about. So out of the 33 million development potential, 10 million will develop ourselves. 4 million launched, 4.4 million launched, rest will be launching over the next couple of years and try to complete the own development in about 3 to 4 years. On the FSS sales side, which is about 20 million square feet or thereabouts, as you may have noticed, we have already done one MOU, we have signed with Logos for sale of up to 90 acres of land. Due diligence is underway. Logos is an credible large name from Asia Pacific in terms of warehousing the sector. The transaction is progressing well. We expect to see a meaningful closure to this transaction during second half of fiscal. That should actually give us a large cash flow and also ability to unwind or monetize a large part of the targeted monetization that we have in this land bank, or the only land bank that we have. Last but one slide, development management. I think we have discussed this in the past. It just suffices to draw attention to the fact that today we have actually 12 ongoing projects. My apologies, I said 11 earlier. 12 ongoing projects, 6.7 million square feet is already up and running. In all, we have 21 projects, 16.5 million square feet. Nearly a third of our portfolio is in DM. So the business model has actually stabilized well, is now beginning to make a meaningful impact in terms of volume as well as its share of revenues. In the past, some of our revenues came from Xander, but we believe that process is now almost over. The Gateway office complex where we were doing DM for Xander funds. The final set of income recognition happened in FY22. We believe we are ready to come. We are almost there in terms of final OCs, and therefore the going forward, most of our or nearly all of our DMT will come from residential DM projects signed up already, and we are confident of sustaining DMT in the billion rupee mark or 100 crore mark for the next 3 years as well. The last slide that I have is to briefly talk about a potential transaction that we are working on, where we are looking to make a cautious entry into Hyderabad market. The characteristics of this market is very similar to the rest of the southern Indian markets, and therefore it's a market that we are familiar with, and we believe we have an exciting opportunity there. It's a mid-market, the micro market supports very strong mid-market activity. And we believe we are sitting on a project which is an exciting project to take off into a new city. And we'll make a more formal, more detailed announcement as we wrap up this whole thought process over the next couple of weeks. But it suffices to say that in FY23, we would probably expand our footprint into Hyderabad market and more so during the initial part of the year. So with that, I'll end by saying what's highlighted in slide 26. Very strong brand, very strong governance, a trusted brand not just by the customers but also by the landowner partners. Now we have further reinforced our track record in terms of overall operations. We believe we have a very strong outlook, demonstrated ramp up and scalability already, and therefore combination of our strong balance sheet, strong brand and a strong execution platform, we are confident of delivering quality results going forward, and we look forward to support from each of our existing and potential investors and analysts in our new value journey. With that, I'll pause here. I'll stop here. Murli, myself, and Ramesh are here on the call. We'll be happy to take any questions that you may have. Thank you. Adi?
So I will go ahead with the questions till there are more people in the queue. So first question is on this tie-up you have done for Kolkata, for the MOU you have signed. Hello?
Yeah, sorry, from background.
Sir, for the MOU you have signed for your Kolkata project.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Adidev Chattopadhyay from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, sir. My question was for your Kolkata where you signed the MOU, so when do you expect the thing to get concluded, and what would be the indicative valuation Is it close to what are the normal rates in the area? That is the first question. Secondly, from the project we are doing for Xander, now considering that and the Kolkata project, whatever cash flow, so what would be our collection guidance for next year? I think we have done 600 crores odd collection for full year. So what would be the sort of collections for next year and also the total construction and overhead outgo, which was around just over 500 crores last year? If you would just elaborate on that. Thank you.
On this Kolkata land, as you know, we have signed the MOU. We expect to complete the transaction within next 3 months' time. And the land prices is at market value or slightly ahead of the market value. We got a good price. So we hope to conclude in next 3 months' time. Xander transaction, project is completed. It's the final leg. We should have the cash flows anytime now. So,
yeah. So, Adi, you talked about the overall collection outlook for FY23. I think FY22, I think you had a different number in mind. The net collection for FY22 is 1183 crores. The gross collection was 1263 crore in FY22. The collections will rise to, net collections will rise to about 1600 crore this year. Somewhere around 1600 crores. The construction spend is what the number you mentioned. FY22 construction was 640 odd crores. That construction spend will go to about 843 crores in FY23.
Okay. Sir, there was a slide 15 of the investor presentation or 17 in the PDF at a console level of cash.
No, collection slide number 4 shows 11835 as the total collection, and that is a net number. Slide 5 talks about gross collection of 12631.
Okay.
31 will move to 1,616 billion or 1,600 crores in FY23.
Okay.
Construction will rise from 643 crores done in FY22. To roughly about 845 crores in FY23. This collection number includes potential monetization from mall location in Chennai. Excludes mall location from Chennai, as well as excludes potential cash flow from Bengal transaction. So it excludes these two FSI sale transactions. So this core collection of 1600 crore primarily reflects the underlying operations that we have.
Okay, okay. Fine, so that is pretty clear. So next question is on our construction spread. Obviously, we highlighted in the presentation. But in terms of, if a margin, if you could help us understand what is the impact on margin as a percentage of sales and what sort of price hikes we will need to take to maintain our current margins.
So, overtake we are looking at last year, if you have seen, across our projects, we have increased the prices between 8 to 10%, and the trend is likely to continue. FY23 also, we expect the prices to go up further. That's happening just sheer consolidation, and also there is a scope for us to increase our prices. So, we are pretty confident in taking further price increase now. That's very much visible now. With respect to the cost, as you have seen already now, steel prices have come down. And 3 months ago, the steel cement prices were at its peak. Now, they have started reversing now. So, the cost of construction will be in good control. We don't expect any major impact. Maybe some marginal impact, but major impact will not be there on the cost increase.
Okay. Fine, sir. That is pretty clear.
With respect to the collection, probably, I mean, just to clarify, that 1,600 crores is only from the project cash flows, without taking into account of the land sale in Kolkata, without taking into account of Xander transaction money coming in, without taking into consideration of another FSI sale in Chennai. So, if these three happen, the collection could hit 2,000 crores. So, and there is a very high probability all three will happen.
Thank you very much. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. We have the next question from the line of Raghvendra Singh. He's an individual investor. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello. Thank you for giving me the opportunity, and thank you management for going ahead with the price hike. I wanted a bit more clarity on the project pipeline. I mean, we've had this Kannur projects being deferred, and Sambhavi and Chandrapura is yet to be launched. So what are the expected timelines for these two project launch, and what is also the expected timeline for Hebbal 1?
I'll address this Hebbal 1. Hebbal 1, we started the construction. We expect to complete the project in next 18 months time. All that.
Under construction, why is it not there on the website?
It is an office building. It is not open for residential apartments. We are not selling the units. This will be built and leased.
And
hence, it is not there in the website.
The other project is for the report.
The other project, Shambhavi, should happen soon. We are hoping that, before this financial year end, we will try to bring the project into shape. Apart from that, we added quite a lot of new projects. We added close to about 13 million square foot new projects in the last, since filing RHP. And here we plan to launch close to about 17 projects for FY23. So out of which about 11 are new projects, 6 are the new phases in the old projects. So the pipeline is pretty strong. We have been able to corner quite a lot of projects under development management and joint development in the markets in Bangalore and Chennai and Hyderabad now. So we are pretty confident that the supply is looking very, very impressive now. So we should be able to comfortably do the guidance number what we have given.
Thank you, sir. And how much space do we have in Park 63 and Panorama Hill still left for launch?
Park 63, 1A is, delivery started. 1B, again, it's under construction. 2A is under construction. All together about 4 lakh square foot is the balance space available. Vizag, everything is sold.
Okay, sir. And this impairment loss is related with Vizag, the 2.1 million square feet, the pending payment.
Not square feet. It's actually the financial provision. I'll explain that. So we used to have all these SPVs are thinly capitalized. So SPL, the parent company gives loan to them and keeps charging interest because to ensure arm's length and all that. We keep charging interest on a cumulative basis. The interest burden is a big burden. And with the project nearing the length, as you know, Hyderabad project, Vizag project went through a little bit of challenge in the past and it's now nearing completion. It should be actually getting closed out this year. Therefore, this was an opportune moment for us to revisit the entire project life cycle cash and see recoverability of this interest. So most of the write-offs of the impairment that you would see in the standalone financials are all of them are related to a wholly owned subsidiary, and that's why I don't see them in consol. And Vizag being the largest and mostly to do with the interest component, because 30 crore is a out of the whole liability, principal is only 30 crore. The rest is all accumulated interest that is payable to the parent.
Okay, sir. Thank you for answering my questions.
Thank you, sir. We take the next question from the line of Siddharth Oberoi from Prudent Equity. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. So I may have missed this your opening remarks, but your interest cost for a year is about 120 crores. So, but on a gross debt of about 500. So, what else have you added in the interest cost?
Yeah, I'll explain that. The interest burden, if you see the slide 13, 96 crore is interest burden, 20.5 crore is the unwinding of interest is it's classified. Fundamentally, what happens is there is a 4% royalty burden sitting in our books related to Bengal land. Whenever we construct and realize revenue, 4% of the revenue goes to Government of West Bengal. It was actually a non-compete fee with Hindustan Motors, but we had agreed to give it to West Bengal government instead of giving it to Hindustan Motors. There are two aspects to this story. One is we are obviously challenging the non-compete fee till now because it was supposed to be only for 6 years. Now the project itself, the land acquisition is more than 10 years now, and Hindustan Motors themselves are monetizing their land bank, so there is no question of non-compete. Be that what it may, the second aspect to the story is because there is no final clarity on it, we are making provision for it. The balance sheet shows the overall liability, which is capped at 190 odd crore plus interest at 6% beyond a particular stage. About 220 odd crore would be the liability in the balance sheet. That is payable over a period of time, and therefore NPV value of that liability is shown in the financial statement as a low amount payable to Government of West Bengal. As the timeline passes, the present value keeps changing. The time value of the money has to be provided in your P&L, and therefore the 20.5 crore this year or 20.2 crore last year, all of this relates to the time value of money, so it gets charged to the P&L and the loan amount, the balance sheet amount gets restated upwards to that extent. Therefore it is a non-cash charge. When you see the overall funding cost, I would imagine you should take 96.4 plus other finance costs, which is the processing fee and all that, so 3.3 crore. 99 crore has to be seen against whatever was the loan outstanding at the average. At the beginning of the year, we had 760 crore of gross debt. It's only getting repaid over a period of time, so the average loan life you have to see. To cut it short, if you ask me what is the actual cost of funds, it is 33.3% is the cost of debt as at the. Okay, so that's missing. 13-odd% is the average cost of debt that we have in our balance sheet for the current year or FY 2022. We are looking forward to. We're continuing our restructuring and refinancing activities, and therefore we expect this debt interest rate to drop further. We think we will be at least 200 basis points below compared to where we were earlier last year. I hope that gives you clarity on the cost of debt.
Yes, it does. You know, and so I have another question. You said that there is a potential revenue potential of about 1,500 crore that, you know, each year may come on the books. So, does that include the DM fees as well?
No, I'm actually talking about, if you look at slide 22, the numbers would. I'm taking a three-year combined volume, so I'm just to simplify and give you indicative numbers, I'm taking average handover is about 3 million sq ft a year.
Oh.
3,000 sq ft a year with 5,000 rupees average realization is about, it gives you the 1,500 crores.
Yeah, but then some of it would be JVs, then other things as well, right?
No, I understand. I understand that. That's why I'm leaving. No, that's why I'm talking about overall revenue recognition potential average. Annual revenue recognition over the next 3 years should be in the range of about 1,500 crore. Yes, it will be a few variation will always be there depending on how much of this is JV and how much is our own books.
Yeah, how much is JV, and 33% is DM. So I mean, this.
Yeah.
We need to slash it down accordingly to, you know, then little will come in the books, right?
I'm sure we have to slash that because otherwise we'll have to walk through the entire revenue model or the entire projected P&L on this call. That's why I did. I gave an indicative number. You can safely assume we'll be somewhere between 1,200 crore revenue in our own books, if that's the number.
JV will come as a JV.
JV will come.
Yeah.
JV will come as a, our share of JV profits. We pick up only the share of cost or profit.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
I'd like to thank every one of you for supporting us. And as I said again, I would like to summarize and conclude. We have got a great year ahead. Really, the market has been getting into big consolidation. The consolidation helped large branded players like us to achieve bigger growth. And as we have mentioned during IPO roadshows, we'll be in a position to grow this company 25% CAGR for the coming years comfortably. And the project pipeline is pretty strong today. And last year was a turnaround year. And the next 3 years, we are looking at a great journey ahead. So would like to thank all of you once again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ajay, for hosting this call, and sincerely appreciate all the support.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of ICICI Security, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.